Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. 9 deaths are linked to simultaneous explosions of pagers across Lebanon. The beepers were owned by members of the terrorist group Hezbollah.
We are gathering information on this incident. I can tell you that the U.S. was not involved in it. The U.S. was not aware of this incident in advance, and at this point, we're gathering information.
The State Department spokesman Matthew Miller. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff looking into North Korea's launch of several short-range missiles toward the Northeast. 8 Senate Republicans demanding the Secret Service provide former President Trump the same level of protection as a sitting president. A woman who allegedly drove an SUV into a crowd in downtown Minneapolis faces murder charges. She's accused of killing a teenager and injuring at least 5. After a meltdown of a summer, Phoenix finally getting a cool down. The National Weather Service says the high today was 93, ending a 113-day streak of 100-plus degree days. This is ABC News. Family members of the Key Bridge collapse victims file suit.
Families of some of the immigrant workers who died when a cargo ship hit a pillar of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore in March are suing to hold the owners of the ship liable for the deadly collapse. Relatives of 3 of the 6 victims who died asking a federal court to prevent the ship's owner, Grace Ocean Private Limited, based in Singapore, from escaping legal liability. The lawsuit maintains the cargo ship should have never left its port after suffering sporadic power outages that would impair its control. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The FAA wants to fine SpaceX over $630,000 for alleged safety violations last year. The FAA says SpaceX used a new launch control room without prior approval and used a yet-to-be-approved rocket fuel facility. Tomorrow, House Speaker Johnson awards a congressional gold medal to a group of black women known as the Hidden Figures. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
I carry hope.
I carry hope.
I carry hope because I carry Naloxone, and you can too. Naloxone is an easy-to-use medication that can safely reverse an opioid overdose, and it's available across Wisconsin without a prescription.
So join us and be a source of hope in your community. Find Naloxone near you at doseofrealitywi.gov. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services and the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance held a rally in Eau Claire Tuesday. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden spoke as well. It was Vance's second stop in Eau Claire in 6 weeks. Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is set to campaign Friday night in Madison. People in southwest Wisconsin are just learning about a cyber attack that happened 11 months ago. Terry Bell reports.
People in and around Richland Center were notified over the weekend about a cybersecurity incident from almost a year ago. Richland County officials confirmed their server was hacked on or about October 4th of last year. Toll-free number has been set up to help people with questions. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Quarterbacks in the state of Wisconsin have had some misfortune this fall. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke will miss the rest of the season after tearing his ACL in Saturday's loss to Alabama. Braden Locke will take over behind center for Wisconsin. The Badgers are off until a week from Saturday when they take on USC. The Packers also lost their quarterback in the opener when Jordan Love was hurt late in that game. He also missed Sunday's game against the Colts. Coach Matt LaFleur said that Love's return will strictly be a medical decision and that Love can play even without practicing this week, although LaFleur said he'd prefer Love getting some work. The Brewers got two home runs from Willie Adames and took down Philadelphia 6-2 on Monday. With the win, the Brewers can clinch a division title and a playoff berth today with a win and a Chicago Cubs loss. Milwaukee gets the Phillies again this afternoon in Game 2 of a 7-game homestand that also includes Arizona. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds, warm and humid tomorrow, high mid-80s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds with a chance of showers and storms Thursday and Friday. High temperatures into the mid-80s again. Right now it's 76.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Carl and Peggy Hendricks from the Hendricks Distillery in Oshkosh. And Sarah Enwald, Festival Manager for Festivals of Cedarburg, joins to discuss Cedarburg's Wine and Harvest Festival.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
It looks like we started the show a little early. I don't know. Is the earth spinning quicker or slower? Or what's...
Maybe. It could be that full moon, partial eclipse kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Don't scare me. Don't scare me like that. But yeah, that's going on tonight. The full moon, relatives receive their cycles or have menopause. The ceremony is inclusive to two-spirit and transgenders. You want to talk a little about that? There's a full moon ceremony happening.
Yeah, of course. So us as Indigenous people, we take time as women or anyone who identifies as female to take time during the full moon phase to just celebrate and be part of nature. So relatives who receive their moon or menstrual cycles or have reached menopause, the ceremony is also inclusive to two-spirit and trans relatives as well. You can join NAC, Native American Community Clinic, or American Indian Family Center for a full moon ceremony tonight, Tuesday the 17th. I know NACS is at 8 p.m. in the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis. That address is 2501 Cedar Ave, and that'll be at 8 p.m. But for the St. Paulers and the East Metro people, you can join the American Indian Family Center. They will be hosting a full moon ceremony at 6:30 p.m. at the Bellwind Conservancy Savannah Center in Afton, Minnesota. And that address is 795 Indian Trail South, Afton, Minnesota.
Well, thanks for that update. Just jumping right into that. And also, today is National Voter Registration Day. And you need to make sure that you are, everybody across Turtle Island is registered, because as we know, hanky-panky happens around our reservations, and we need to be aware of people being taken off the voter registration. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready to vote, and visit vote.gov for more information on how to do these things. It's interesting too, Haley, that we really, as Native Americans, have to really fight for our opportunity to vote, because a lot of us don't have addresses that are on the res.
Right. That's such a good point. And there's so many barriers that are kind of like put in place to keep Native Americans from the polls. Like we saw like almost 4 years ago now, how the election of the Native vote, or how the Native vote kind of swung election results in the last presidential election, especially in Arizona. But yeah, so today is National Voter Registration Day. You can update your voter registration if you've moved or if you've changed names, like got married or would like to request an absentee ballot. You can visit vote.gov for more information on how to do those things. Or if you're in Minnesota, mnvotes.gov is a good resource as well. For more info on the Native vote specifically, you can check out the Native American Rights Fund, and that website is vote.narf.org. And as Senator Mary Kunish reminded me today, early voting begins Friday, September 20th, which is this week.
Yeah, definitely. Wendy and I will be doing that when we get back from New York in a week or so, and it'll be easy for us to help other people vote and have a plan after we vote early. And so we always do that, and we're excited, and it's so important. We don't even have to really, we're preaching to the choir in a big sense when it comes to how important this election is, but this election is very important. Our sovereignty as Native Americans is on the line, and I have to again say that, Haley, that I cannot afford to be a one-issue voter. We need to really get the blue team in and then move them more progressively as they have been over the years and recently and in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. So that's a good point. I know a lot of people, especially Native Americans and some of our elders, are hesitant to vote, especially in state and federal elections. But like you just said, Robert, our sovereignty is on the line this election. And to have someone like Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who has visited all tribal nations in Minnesota, he was the first governor to do so. He does care about Native views and opinions. So it's a good team to support this year.
Well, and not only that, I believe that he can help Kamala with if there's any questions, if things are out of her radar, and he can help her as vice president to achieve things for Native people. I mean, look at what's happened here in Minnesota, and granted, it's our great legislators, our state and Senate that have done such great work in Indian country, but he signed those bills, and he signed those bills immediately, and he signed those bills without even thinking about it, in a sense, you know. There has been no consternation towards Native Americans. And as you spoke earlier, you know, we're used to politicians coming on the res and begging for our votes and then never seeing them again for 4 years. And that hasn't been the Walz Flanagan administration here in Minnesota is the total opposite of that. And they meet with the 11 tribes pretty often. And I mean, at least monthly is what I hear.
Yes. Yes, I have heard that as well. Well, tomorrow is a very important day.
Is it my birthday?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I wish.
Yeah.
Something even a little bit better, maybe, we could argue. Tomorrow, Wednesday, September 18th, is the first ever Native Americans Elders Day.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
Yeah, wait, I can do that, I think. Hold on.
Okay.
I always like that button on there. All right, yeah.
Yeah, so our friend
about it. I'm an elder, so
yeah, that's right.
I have to learn about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our friend Maren Hardy of Spirit Care Services joined us last week on Native Roots Radio. It's always so great to chat with her. And I know Maren just did a great interview on CBS, and she was honoring the ones that made it possible for us to be here, our elders. So Native American Elders Day will be held tomorrow in Richfield, Minnesota at Veterans Park, Wednesday, September 18th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information on the first ever Native American Elders Day, you can visit spiritcareservices.com for more information and if you need a ride.
Yeah, what a great organization, and you know, her enthusiasm and the people she works with, and enthusiasm is really, really comes through. And, you know, I watched that WCCO interview on TV, and she did an awesome job, as she does here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something happening. Did we already talk about the full moon? It's kind of affecting me now. I feel like after going to the hearing doctor, that I can hear better in my left ear all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about your little doctor visit. Well, we did talk about full moon ceremonies and what that represents to us women and those who identify as women in our Indigenous communities. But this year, or this month's full moon is a little bit different. It's got some extra weight attached to it. These are just my notes that I was able to gather as I was researching on this month's moon. But there'll be a partial lunar eclipse in the sign of Pisces, which is a water sign. And the last Pisces is also the last sign of the zodiac. There's 12 zodiac signs. Pisces is the last one in the lineup.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces rising, so I'm having a fun time with this moon phase. The signs most affected by this partial eclipse and this full super moon are Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius.
And what am Pisces. I? And what am I?
What are you?
Gemini.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, but I don't believe in that except my own Gemini. Okay. I do believe in Gemini. The other ones, well, no, what's Wendy, a Sagittarius?
Oh, gosh, so it's affecting all three of us?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. We shouldn't be in the same room.
No, we can be. Well, hey, before we get too far in the weeds, what's the show about today? You know, and I always, that's my famous question off the air before we start the show, but tell our listeners what we got to look forward to in the next three segments.
Of course, we're going to be welcoming back Ruth Buffalo of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and then we're going to be joined by artist and musician David Huckfelt and Annie Humphrey, who is Leech Lake Ojibwe, and we're going to be talking about their fall tour, The Fire in the Village.
I always love those music shows, and of course, Ruth Buffalo will give us first-hand detail on the 40th anniversary party that I was not able to make. So I'll be excited to hear about that. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Robert Pilot and Haley Cherry coming up next. Ruth Buffalo. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, they do. And great coffee and a great product. And I love Steve's blend, that dark roast. It curls my nose hair, but I really, really love the taste, too. I like that little bitter taste, kind of an espresso kind of taste.
Yeah, like shots of espresso, just plain. Just plain.
Yeah, I think that's called Americano. If I
remember my
coffee days as a bistro for somebody that I was dating at the time owned a coffee shop, but I won't get deep into that.
Okay. Well, that cool. You know your coffee.
I know how to froth too.
Good.
Yep.
Do you have one of those frothers?
Used to. You know, where you heat up the milk and it makes froth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that word, froth.
Froth. You know what that kind of reminds me of? So do you know how we talked a bit about last season in the hockey season with the new Minnesota professional women's hockey team?
Hey, they got a name now.
Yeah, they do.
What is it?
It's the Minnesota Frost.
Oh, I like that.
You do? Yeah, it's growing on me a little bit.
I ran into them at the state fair, and they were walking around with their trophy.
Oh, that's super cool. The Walter Cup.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I used to be the selfie king of Facebook, and since my other job, I don't do as much with random people, I should say, and I should have did a selfie with those guys because there was like six or seven walking around kind of wearing the same clothes, warm-up clothes, and they were walking around with that trophy, and I said, what's that trophy for? And they told me.
Yeah, it's gone, a big deal.
It's huge deal. You went to the opener, didn't you? It was like 14,000 people.
Yeah. So I think there was like six different teams from across the country to six different states that started out the franchise last season. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got to go to the XL Center and do the girls' home opener game of their season. And it was just a packed house.
It was a record of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. And they won it all last season.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they were walking around State Fair with the cup. It was, I don't know. What do you know what the trophy was called? Because it looked like
the Walter Cup.
Yeah, there was a little teeny silver cup on top of this trophy.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you remember when Zach from, I think, the Vegas Knights, Zach Whitecloud, the Vegas Knights won the Stanley Cup a few years back, and he brought the Stanley Cup back to the powwow grounds of his nation.
I know, that's crazy. And you can do that. I think each player, don't they get a week with the cup and they can go around? And I know over the years people have gone fishing with the Stanley Cup and gone drinking with it, bar hopping with it. And
yeah, it sounds right.
A lot of crazy stuff. I used to be a really big hockey fan when I was younger. There was the St. Paul Saints and that were going up against the NHL, and we had a great team in St. Paul called the Minnesota Fighting Saints. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
And great logo, and they had some really great players, but the league did not sustain itself, and they started losing because it got into a bidding war, and that's where Gretzky got his started as an 18-year-old professional, was in the WHA.
Oh, Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah.
The best player of all time?
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we've really regressed into hockey talk here. And I see our friend Ruth is looks like she's driving somewhere. Let's add her to the show. Hey,
Hi.
Welcome, Ruth.
Hi. Apologies. I got caught running some errands. For work, and so thanks for working with me. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's always great to have you on. It's Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center CEO, and looks like expert driver too.
Yeah, I'm almost to my house, so I can turn the camera on. I'm at a red light, but yeah.
Awesome. Hey, a lot going on. I want to get a little report on yesterday, but also I saw you were in Washington. The big prayer to you and all the people that were there on that day. Ruth, can you tell us a little more?
Sure. Yeah, that was a event that many people were invited to at the White House on the back lawn. It started at like 5:45 on September 12th, and it was celebrating 30 years of the Violence Against Women Act.
Wow. So you were as close as you were. You were that close to the White House. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was an amazing event. Nice, sunny, hot weather, and pretty awesome to be in that space with many advocates and survivors and policymakers. So yeah, and we saw a lot of tribal leaders and tribal coalitions and other organizations across the country, and it was an amazing event for sure.
Yeah, awesome. And so let's talk a little bit about yesterday. I saw my my Facebook feed blowing up on the 40th anniversary of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis. How did that go?
Oh, it went really, really good. Everything was so beautiful. The community came together, and the meal was amazing. We were getting a lot of compliments on the meal, and we're so thankful for our community partners' support. The meal was sponsored by NACD. It was buffalo roast and mashed potatoes, green beans, gravy, fry bread, and wild rice. So yeah, it was an amazing time, and just really awesome to see everyone come together and celebrate 40 years of existence for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
That is so awesome. Big kudos to you and to the people that work there. It's so important for our community, but it's also important for the community to celebrate this great achievement. 40 years. If we think about 40 years ago, you know, there was a lot of things that weren't in our favor, and there was a lot of, I want to say, courage to start a group like this in the 80s. I believe 84 is 40 years ago. I could be wrong. Is it? I'm getting old. It could be 94.
Yes, like there was the original, and then like the kind of like the grand opening and things. But yeah, it's 40 years, September 16th. And it was amazing to see a lot of, there's founding members that were in attendance. And
wow.
And we had actually received recognition from Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here in the state of Minnesota, celebrating 40 years of our 40th anniversary. So we received a recognition certificate from the governor's office, and Patina Park, a former CEO, presented that yesterday to Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Wow, that's huge. And that's huge. What history. And again, what courage those founders had to take on. And it's not a light lift right now. We're still dealing with a lot of the same issues that we had 40 years ago. But I think we're, you know, with an organization like Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, we're able to tackle these things a lot better with the knowledge that we've had over these last years.
Yes, for sure. And the community support, community partnerships are so critically important. It was fun to be at AIOIC today for their, you know, voter registration event, and MIWRC had a booth there. And so, yeah, it was heartfelt and touching to come across an individual who I used to coach when I was at United Tribes Technical College. And she's now unhoused. And so it was kind of a tough moment because I almost didn't recognize her. But it was good to see her and to give her a couple big hugs and offer support. But she's here, and she's from North Dakota. And so it's those encounters that definitely hit the heart.
Yeah, that's hard.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. 9 deaths are linked to simultaneous explosions of pagers across Lebanon. The beepers were owned by members of the terrorist group Hezbollah.
We are gathering information on this incident. I can tell you that the U.S. was not involved in it. The U.S. was not aware of this incident in advance, and at this point, we're gathering information.
The State Department spokesman Matthew Miller. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff looking into North Korea's launch of several short-range missiles toward the northeast. 8 Senate Republicans demanding the Secret Service provide former President Trump the same level of protection as a sitting president. A woman who allegedly drove an SUV into a crowd in downtown Minneapolis faces murder charges. She's accused of killing a teenager and injuring at least 5. After a meltdown of a summer, Phoenix finally getting a cool down. The National Weather Service says the high today was 93, ending a 113-day streak of 100-plus degree days. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Miss Wisconsin pageant is on the move. The scholarship contest will be in New Berlin starting next year. Miss Wisconsin had been in Oshkosh since 1963. The organization is thanking Oshkosh in a social media post. 3 Miss Wisconsins went on to become Miss America during the contest's 61-year run in Oshkosh. The healthcare group that closed hospitals in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls is making some big donations. James Kelly reports.
The organization has donated $9 million to the Eau Claire Community Foundation, $4.6 million to the Community Foundation of Chippewa County, and $330,000 to Chippewa Valley Technical College. Local governments are still working to address the loss of healthcare access in the HSHS departure. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It might be time to glove up again for the cast of Scrubs. Cast member Judy Reyes, who played Selena on the sitcom for years, said she's heard rumors of a potential Scrubs revival, but says series creator Bill Lawrence hasn't said anything to her. But the actress indicated that Lawrence would be open to some type of reboot. Reyes played opposite Zach Braff, Donald Faison, and Sarah Chalke on the hit show. Every young or popular actor wants to be part of an A24 movie. That includes rappers, too. Variety says you can add Tyler, the Creator, to the cast of A24's new film, Marty Supreme, which will be directed by Josh Safdie. The Grammy-winning Tyler, the Creator, will join Timothy Chalamet and Gwyneth Paltrow in the film about a ping pong star. The rest of the plot is being kept under wraps. This is Tyler, the Creator's first film role. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds, warm and humid tomorrow, high mid-80s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds with a chance of showers and storms Thursday and Friday. High temperatures into the mid-80s again. Right now it's 73.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Morty here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. We have from the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, and Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I'm your guest host for Minneapolis Air. Joining me tonight on the second segment is Dorothy Jackson, a recruiter with the city's HR department. She's here to talk about the city's plans to help residents get on that journey by bringing job opportunities and tips into the community. So thank you for joining us today and welcome back to our show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me back. I feel so welcome. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to see your faces.
Happy to have you. Can you tell us what you do as a recruiter for the city? How about you actually start a little bit with, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I have been a recruiter with the City of Minneapolis for about a year and 4 months or something like that. So kind of new, but not that new. I know enough. As a recruiter, I'm just responsible for attracting talent into the city. I also have a huge focus on community engagement, reaching to some of those underrepresented communities. I advertise for the city, kind of a city ambassador to promote the jobs, but I'm also a resource to potential applicants or people that are already city employees or just people that are just looking for a job with the residents. I'm open to everybody. But my main job is to get that talent into the city. Now I can attract you, but also getting people in actually landing jobs and careers with us.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And how did you start working in local government?
Well, Christine, a long, 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 long time ago.
Not that long ago.
I was in the city youth program called Step Up. I didn't have the opportunity to go straight to college after high school. So I took the advantage of this pathway program, and I was able to develop my career in the government. I interned in the Human Resources Department at the Minneapolis Park Board for like 6 years. And there I learned a love for HR. I didn't even know I liked HR. So taking that opportunity and that internship and staying on actually turned into a career path. After that, I went over to Ramsey County for a certain amount of years, and I applied to this job on a whim. Ramsey County really made me mad. So I just submitted this application, and then I looked at it as a sign. It was a sign for me to come over here, and I came here within the last year and a half.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I think I mentioned before I was in city HR, and I never seen myself going into HR. It was just kind of by accident the same way. I applied for a different job at another organization, got into HR, and I loved it. And I was with the city's HR department for 13 years. So I hear you. You didn't realize that it was going to be as exciting as it really does end up being.
Yeah, I didn't even know I had a place for people that looked like me in the HR department, mm-hmm. especially in local government. So I'm really thankful for the opportunities for the people in the public sector that have given me the opportunity without mm-hmm. that college degree and using some of those equivalency in my on-the-job knowledge to apply to some of these positions.
Mm-hmm. Not really knowing what kind of jobs there are in local government, what kind of opportunities can a job seeker find in the city of Minneapolis?
So the city of Minneapolis has 28 different departments now. Some of the bigger ones include our public works departments, which you see people that are outside, you know, fixing the potholes, or if you see someone doing some work outside, it's usually someone that's in our public works department. We have regulatory services, public safety. There are also careers in human resources, civil rights, city attorneys, mm-hmm. clerk office, and IT. We frequently do hire for 911 call takers. That's probably one of our biggest recruitments that we do, along with our police recruitment, but we have different, lots of entry level and professional level positions. All of our opportunities are posted online. We do not accept any paper applications, and we frequently post jobs weekly. You can also follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn to kind of see what's happening, what we're looking for at the time, or you can also reach out to me.
Oh, to you directly. That would be fun. I think somebody should, we should get your information up there for them.
For sure.
Let's talk about the new initiative that you've created to get residents job ready for a career with the city. What is HR Bridges Level Up Your Career?
Yes. So this is an event that we piloted in the spring of this year. I I could easily just recruit from my computer, but I realize that we've got talent right here in our backyard. Our constituents of not just Minneapolis, but the Twin Cities, St. Paul as well, and the surrounding areas. So it's an event that takes place on Thursday, October 3rd from 11 to 2. We'll be doing kind of HR. We're going to be doing like a community outreach type of thing where we will provide resources to local talent. These resources include a resume and cover letter review, interview tips and tricks, application assistance, free professional headshots, a free lunch, and also opportunities to network with hiring managers. Some of our hiring managers that will be there that either have positions open at the time or that they have things that are up and coming. You'll also be able to connect with an HR professional. We made sure to create all of our handouts are like very universal. So even if you don't land with a job with the city, they're applicable to get a job elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Why does the HR department want to bring HR bridges and job tips and techniques out into the community?
As I stated before, and Christina, as you know, I've always had a passion for connecting with others in the community. Mm-hmm. When I was attending events in the city, I realized that there was the talent right here in our neighborhoods. I don't have to look far. So I can post mm-hmm. for a job or I can go to a job fair that's national, but it's like, we have to be able to get the information out there. People don't know what they don't know. They don't know if they can work for the city. People mm-hmm. just associate with the city with, you know, our charter departments that we have to have, like police and fire, but there are so many other positions that people can have. So I don't want to sit behind a desk. I like to get out in the streets.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that look like me that can work for the city. So the more informed that people stay, you know, and the more information that we put out there, people can know like, hey, I can actually work a government job.
Yeah, I think that is that's the right way to do it. I think growing up, I never saw myself working for the city either. You know, I thought of it was a little bit intimidating. All I ever heard was, oh, you should go take that civil service test. Take that civil service test, that one. And having come from an HR background before coming to the city, it was a pleasant surprise to see just how many different jobs there are at the city. I think part of the intimidation is sometimes people think of civil service as just this boring day in, day out kind of thing that you do. And it's not at all. I think, you know, working in local government has been one of the best choices I feel like I've made. And I get to work with great people like you. So
and
I think
every position that we have, it impacts the community somehow, mm-hmm. the back end work. So that's why this event is to help like civil service. What does that mean? A lot of these things, a lot of these terms we think are plain language. And it's like we have to get out there and let people know our process, which mm-hmm. can help them beforehand. I don't want to get you afterwards after you were denied. I want to catch you in the beginning and get you ready and prepared to apply yourself.
And the importance that representation matters. You know, in every job across mm-hmm. the city, not just in certain decision, high level decision making, but everywhere across the enterprise.
Yes.
What can residents expect when they attend HR Bridges?
Well, residents can expect an open door to any information they need to present their best selves. This is an opportunity to ask any questions or get insight from HR professionals before you apply for a job, so you won't feel penalized. Sometimes you submit an application and you don't really want to reach out to anyone or don't know who to reach out to. So as I stated before, even if the career path is not with the city, we want to provide this opportunity to help our residents. It'd be good just to know. Just to get some tips, to get a free professional headshot you can use on your LinkedIn or Facebook or on your business page. I just think that these are services that we should provide in hopes that it can turn into something bigger or something ongoing that we're doing, you know, once a month or something.
Mm-hmm. So I did notice that you were on previously talking about an event that you had on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that go? Does that play into why you're able to do one on the outside, on the south side? And will there be more of these events?
Well, I can't forget about either side because they're both just important to make the city as a whole. So we started at the Career First Center. We partnered with them, and that was north. But this time, the Career First Center on the south side at 777 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I felt like that would be a great location to kind of get that demographic in case they missed it last time, or it might be easily accessible if that's within their neighborhood. My plan is to hit all wards. So I'm north and south. South, but I'm Southwest, Northwest. I just piloted and thought of it, and I just want the more we help people, the more, you know, there will be a need for us to expand.
So we had one in North, and now you're doing one in South. Does that mean, like, you have to be Southsider to go to this event on the South Side?
Absolutely not. You could be in Duluth. This event is open to all. You don't have to register. Nope. You don't have to come in a suit. You can just come as your wonderful self. That's it. You can live anywhere. If you didn't catch the last one and you live on the North Side, please feel free to attend this event.
So for those who are looking to become a Minneapolis employee, what are some of the benefits of working for the city?
So we've got a lot of benefits. First of all, we've got a pension. We've got, paid time off. We've got sick time. We've got vacation time. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, there are some tuition reimbursement options. All of our benefits are online. I'm not going to even pretend to be the expert, but I know we've got career development opportunities. We've got employee resource groups. Mm-hmm. Paid parental leave. But if you want to go on the City of Minneapolis website, put benefits into the search line, you'll be able to get a full description of what the benefits that we offer. Also, there will be a table at HR Bridges of at this event with a benefits specialist that can really go into depth about some of the benefits working with us.
That's awesome. How many city holidays? Is it 12 now?
Holidays?
Yeah. Oh. It's something like 12.
I think we get 12 vacation days. I think that's what
I think it's like 12 like official city holidays.
Christine, because I remember HR background, you're the expert.
Well, it used to be 11. It used to be 11, and now I think we added
18. I think with Juneteenth, it may be 12. Yep.
Yeah. So the reason I asked is because I had worked out at a casino at one point, mm-hmm. and after I started working at the city, they called me up trying to get me to come back, and they were trying to like sugar it all up and be like, and we can even give you 10 vacation days to start with. And I was like, ha, ha, I get 11.
I get 11. Well, now I get 12.
Yes, and now we get 12. So that's one of the great benefits that we have, as well as our vacation. So are there job opportunities for youth at the city?
Yes. So we have summer internship programs, like I stated before, that I started with Step Up. But there are opportunities to work throughout the school year. When the internship was over, I advocated for myself in HR to stay with Step Up, and I was a Step Up kid for a while. Also, Urban Scholars, I can kind of get into that. That's our college internship program. It's a 12-week program. It's a really reputable, really nice program that we do in the summer that could potentially lead to employment afterwards as well. You just have to be enrolled in a four-year college Urban Scholar. I will have someone there at the event as well that can talk about opportunities. I know right now we have a public works internship that's open right now for the fall and the summer if someone is interested, but there are youth opportunities and Urban Scholars opportunities that can turn into full-time employment.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll be right back. This is Minnesota Air on Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. Air stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
I've often said the RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota is the best vehicle I've ever driven, and I just had it proven to me once again. I drove around San Francisco and the Sierra Nevadas in a RAV4 hybrid, and it was sensational. The city driving was amazing, tackling tight corners and steep city streets while looking stylish. The real challenge came when we got up into the mountain roads, and the RAV4 carved them up like a hot knife through butter. And the hybrid fuel efficiency saved me over $200 on my vacation. Win, win, win. Test drive a Toyota RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and we are rejoining our conversation with Dorothy Jackson, who is a recruiter with the City of Minneapolis Human Resources Department. Before we ended our last segment, we just got into a little bit about some of the opportunities for youth at the City of Minneapolis. You mentioned Step Up, you mentioned our Urban Scholar Program, and I think there was one that was newer to me that I hadn't heard about before, and I think that was the Public Works Program.
It was Public Works has internships that they do every year. There's one that's actually open on our website right now. So that's an internship opportunity that someone can apply to. But every summer we do have youth opportunities. I do know that our CPID department, our, and also Civil Rights, which is now coming to HR, Urban Scholars, we will be kind of like hosting Urban Scholars with HR, with Civil Rights this year, this coming summer. But a lot of opportunities have turned into like actual employment. We can't guarantee employment, but it still gives you that on the job knowledge and also helps you network and could help, you know, pave like a career pathway for you.
Yeah. You know, so Nick No, who is the deputy director of my department, Neighborhood and Community Relations, was actually an Urban Scholar who stayed on and worked his way up into deputy director of our department. So there are some really great stories that come out of the work that we've been doing with these programs. For the Step Up program, do you know what the ages are for that?
If I'm not mistaken, I think that age group is from 14 to 21. I will confirm, but I do know that it is for mostly high school kids.
Yeah.
That's when I started, but I kind of stayed on a little while after when I was a young adult. And then Urban Scholars is for college students. There will be someone at the event to discuss our pathway programs, Urban Scholars, and our Step Up, also our Step Up team. Somebody will be there to kind of talk about those opportunities. They are in the summer usually, but it's always good to kind of like plant that seed and to get connected with someone to get some more information.
Especially now, do you know what time of the year the applications open for Step Up?
So I'm not sure, but I know they start a little bit early because they've got
like February or something.
They've got hundreds of applicants.
Yes.
I do know that Urban Scholars is going to open sometime February, March, but I think Step Up is around the same time, a little bit earlier, probably February.
Those are some great opportunities to get introduced into the City of Minneapolis local government. I know they have offered Step Up, especially has opportunities elsewhere across the metro area, but specifically for the City of Minneapolis, that's what we would like to encourage you to come and experience. So a couple more questions that I've got for you. So one of the things, so what can we talk about? What if you have applied for a job at the city before, but you never heard back?
That sounds like a common theme. So I love to get the information out there. Some people get discouraged or just like, hey, I never heard back. Beforehand, we didn't have a talent acquisition team, but that's a new team that was implemented into our human resources department, and we have taken over the hiring. So better communication, easier, you know, shorter time to fill. I encourage people to still apply and still come to the event. You can maybe get clarity there. We can always, you know, connect with you, talk with you, look at your last application or your resume. There have been government jobs that I have that I've applied to at other government entities. I just didn't hear back. We are trying, we are diligently working on trying to be more responsive, but I don't want people to get discouraged and think because you didn't hear back that you don't aren't qualified for a job or we wouldn't want to have you at the city. Because sometimes the second or third time's the charm. You know that, Christine.
So one of the quick little crazy stories. So when I was still in HR, I remember, you know, every day you go get your mail. And I had a returned mail envelope from somebody. I was responding to them about where they placed on a list or something like that. But it was a return address from like 4 years before. So it was, so like the mail actually literally lost that.
We're trying to get better with our response time. HR reps have been in, we got steps added now. We've got some programs implemented and we're trying better to be way more responsive.
And we're more technologically savvy in everything, like apply online, communicate through email. So if it gets lost in email, I don't know what to tell you.
But those representatives will be there at the event to be able to answer questions directly about our hiring process.
So let's say the event happens and I'm planning on going and something comes up. What happens if I can't make it to your event? What can I do?
So if you can't make it to the event, I always recommend signing up for government jobs. If you go on our jobs page, if there's a left-hand corner, you can do a little drop down and it's going to say job alerts. You can sign up for job alerts, stay in the know until when we post a job within a realm or an area you may be interested in. Also, you can follow us. If you look up City of Minneapolis Jobs on Facebook and LinkedIn, you can kind of stay up and current and stay connected to us on social media.
Oh, that's so cool. So if somebody wanted to be a cop or wanted to be a firefighter, they could go and sign in for that alert?
100%. So whatever area you think you may be interested in working in, you just select it. You'll get an email whenever we post a job within that department. Social media, I may do it again. If you stay current on our social media page or if you follow our social media page, you can see the flyer for an opportunity to make it at another time.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
But I want to see everybody there if you can.
Yeah, free lunch. What are you having for lunch?
Free lunch. Well, it's going to be a surprise. Just come. Free headshots, free lunch. You can't go wrong.
Free headshots.
Free headshots. They're nice. Our communications department does nice professional pictures. A lot of people were thankful for that. They were able to use them either on their resume or to update their LinkedIn profile. So we don't have
on their resume. Are people using them on their resume again?
I have it on mine.
Because back in my day, that was like a faux pas. Like you were not supposed to put your picture on your resume.
It depends on the job. That's why you got to come so we can give you some real advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's so many things that have changed. Like I know people are looking at people up on Facebook and stuff. I'm like, I don't know how fair that is. But
or LinkedIn professionally. So I want to look you up on LinkedIn. So just having all that zipped up and getting some advice from others. I'm like, because it's difficult. The trends change. The workforce.
Yes, they do.
Time just rolls on and things are becoming new. AI is taking over. So it's just making sure that we stay current.
Yeah. When you first joined and you talked about a long, 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 long time ago. Well, a long, 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 long time ago when I was in HR. Like it was all snail mail and it was paper applications. Yeah. And we actually sat people like in a room and would give them written tests. It was wild.
That was the thing. That was the thing.
That
never
was
no
the
more.
Civil service tests.
Well, some departments, some positions still require some types of tests and exams, but
absolutely.
It just depends on the job.
Absolutely.